The responsibility of a father. Let me say to you dads this morning that you all have some responsibility. Now moms, you do too. And some of this stuff's going to cross over this morning. But I'm going to let you all have the day off today. And we're going to preach the dad, okay? Proverbs chapter 22, as we begin to read, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. What somebody's got to say of you and what your name truly is far better than any money that you can have in your back pocket. He said a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I'd want salvation attached to my name, amen, and loving favor than silver and gold. I'd rather have God have something good to say about me than have all the money in the world. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You can be seated this morning. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now this morning asking you to help us, and that for a little while. You know the needs that's sitting out here in the congregation. Lord, I cannot worry about who is not here this morning right now, but Lord, I must be concerned in that with the folk that are here. And Lord, I ask you this morning that you would help me. I certainly need a touch and that from heaven for just a little while. Lord, we want and that for you to guard our mind and our thoughts this morning. Lord, we ask and pray that you would touch somebody that might be lost, that they'd get saved today. Lord, we want to preach no more or no less than what you've given us. And Lord, what we've studied and what we've thought and meditated upon, and that through the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help us, and that today, to draw it to our remembrance, that we might be able to preach for just a little while. Now, God, again, I ask you to save that sinner's nearest hell. Help us now. Help the one that has a need. Let pride in that step out of the way this morning. And we're going to give you the glory for it all. For these things in Jesus' precious and holy name, we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. Now, as I look in the scripture today, in Proverbs chapter 22, I find that in the latter part of what I read, he said, train up a child in the way that he should go. So as I looked at that and thought about that, as that training must fall on somebody's shoulders. It has to fall on somebody's shoulders to do the training. Now that word responsible that I made a few minutes ago, that word responsible means liable to account. It means answerable. Can I tell you today, fathers, that there is a judgment seat of Christ that every one of you are going to stand at one day, and you will give an account for how your house was run. You'll give an account for how your children were raised. You'll give an account of how you lived your life, and that before God. Can I say that that's true for any of us today? That are saved, you are going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. Now let me say this, that if you're lost, you'll be at the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, where he said, behold, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whom's face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. But thank God, I'll not be there. Amen. I may be at the judgment seat, or I know I'll be at the judgment seat, but listen, we're going to give an account. But we never think, I think that sometimes fathers never think about they're going to have to give an account for raising their children. Never give them to Cain. Let me say that we've got fathers in here today and stepfathers and grandfathers, and no doubt we might have some what we would call, the world would call godfathers, or what we'd call adoptive fathers, or foster fathers, those things, and fathers in the faith. Got even father-in-laws in here today. Amen. And so it goes on and on. And let me say this by way of introduction, that first of all, if you're going to be a dad, you ought to be a husband. Amen. Amen. Right? Y'all catch that when I just said that a few minutes ago. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, I made mention of this last week, preaching on marriage, that the Bible said that marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers will God judge. Amen. And so if you're going to be a dad, you need to be a husband, first of all. And so if you understand anything about being a husband, then you know that in Ephesians chapter 5, that you are to be the head of your home. Amen. I tell you, Bible, and look at Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to look with me real quick. We're going to kill it first thing, and then we'll see what we can do. Ephesians chapter 5, look in verse 20. Look in verse 21. Ephesians 5 verse 21, the Bible said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband, now look here, is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now we looked last week that those verses are not conditional, one of the other. And what I mean by that is, as I've said last week, that some ladies would say, well, I would be submissive if my husband loved me like Christ loved the church. Now that's not how it works. Listen, the Bible said for you to be submissive unto your own husband. And some men would say, well, I would love my wife like Christ loved the church if she would just be submissive unto me. That's not what he said. They're not conditional like one or the other. You're to do them, amen. And that's what it boils down to. And so we find right here that the husband, to be a dad, you're to be a husband, and you are to be the head of your home. Now, if you don't get anything else that I say today, I want you to hear me right here. The spiritual welfare of your home rests on your shoulders.
Amen.
Now, let me say that again. The spiritual welfare of your home rests on your shoulders. It is your responsibility. I know mama takes care of some things. I know you make sure mama takes care of some things. I know that sometimes things get out of our control and mama has to handle some things. That's what mama's there for. Amen. Mama's got her role and the wife has her role, but I'm not preaching on her this morning. But I'm telling you right now that at the very beginning of it all, the very spiritual welfare of your home, whether your children learn about God, whether they go to church, whether they learn anything about the Spirit of God, is your responsibility. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and some of y'all are not going to agree with what I have to say, and I made mention of this to my wife, but I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he was saying, we were talking, he was telling me, he said, man, he said, I need to go to the hospital. He said, I've got one that is having bleeding on the brain right now, and he says, I need to go to the hospital. But he said, my wife is at home so sick that I'm afraid to leave her by herself. What was he supposed to do? Now, I'm asking you a question. You say, well, he's a pastor. He needs to be with his people. I agree with that. But God instituted that marriage first, way before he ever instituted the ministry over here. You understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this, preachers. Your marriage is far more important than your ministry. My marriage to her is far more important than my ministry. I'm not saying my ministry ain't important. I ain't saying that I shouldn't finish my ministry.
That's right.
But if I don't have her, if I don't have my marriage, I don't have a ministry.
You're hooked up right.
Amen. Am I telling the truth? Some of y'all is going to have to think on that for just a minute. But here's the great thing. When that marriage and ministry can work together, that's how it's supposed to work.
Amen.
And so he stayed with his wife. I said, that's what you're supposed to do. I said, I called one of my young preachers just maybe about 6 months ago when my wife was so sick on a Sunday morning. I said, you're going to have to preach for me. I said, I'm not going to go to church on Sunday morning. You know that I could probably count on one hand how many times I've not been here on a Sunday. I mean, really, especially for sickness. I can probably count on one hand in 16 and a half years how many times I've not been here on a Sunday. But listen, now, I don't want you to understand that I'm going to put my wife before the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm trying to get you to see is the very spiritual war, the very spiritual welfare of your home rests on you. And you have to understand that right now.
Right.
That marriage, that home, raising them children must come first. It has to in everything. Now let me say this today, that there is a judgment that's going to come and you're going to stand before God. Now look right here. He says in the text verse, we won't look at all that prior stuff, although it was good, amen. He says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Now let me say number one, it's not the government's job to train your children. I preached on this just not too long ago. It's your responsibility. So number one in the responsibility of the father and of the home, and I know that it lays on both shoulders, and that's all I'm going to say about that today, is that number one, first of all, you must train them. Now we train our children to do everything else, don't we? You train them to brush their teeth. Don't you train them to brush their teeth? I mean, you don't want to have to be in there when they're 16 years old saying that you need to brush your teeth. I mean, you hopefully got them trained by then. If you're 16 years old and you don't brush your teeth, it's a wonder they ain't all fell out. Amen. Amen. I mean, listen, I didn't go to the dentist for years. He said it's amazing that your teeth is in good shape. Is that during? He said, most of the time I'm pulling teeth like that. I brushed them, you know. Why? My mama taught me how to brush my teeth. Amen.
Come on.
Listen, you train them. You train them to do everything else. You train them to brush their teeth. You train them to go take a shower. I hope when they're 16, 17 years old that they're in there taking a shower and getting cleaned up.
Yeah.
I mean, you train them when they're real little. And that we call it potty training, don't we? You want them trained, especially when they're 3 and 4 years old. Hey, listen, you don't want to have to be doing all that mess the rest of their life. Well, let me ask you this question. If all that stuff is so important that we're going to train them, or we're going to train them to brush their hair and brush their teeth and go take a shower when they need to and train them to get up and go to work and all those things, then why aren't we training them about the things of God? If all that stuff is very important to us that it gets done, then why wouldn't we train them? Let me say that, first of all, that they're trained by the Scripture. Wouldn't you say that this morning? Wouldn't you say that the Scripture is the greatest training ground that there is? Now, can I say that, first of all, this morning, that you're trained by the Scripture in how to train your children?
That's right.
If you want to know how to raise your children, get in the Bible. Amen. Get in the Bible. Now, listen, I know some things you just learn by experience. Amen. And I know that sometimes some things that work for one child, especially for y'all in here that's raised more than one, some things that work for one just won't work for another. I mean, some just, they're all just made different, built different, think different, act different. And sometimes you got to try something with one. It might work again and it might not. But I do know this, that when you give them the Scripture, it'll work every time.
Amen.
But you need the Scripture in your life and that to train with. Do you know that this book will teach you and that how to love your children? You say, well, preacher, I know how to love my children. Take your Bible and go to the book of Titus. Now, I know that I'm preaching to dads today, but I want to show you something. The book of Titus. Let me see if I can find this right here. The book of Titus. Look in verse 4. Book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. Now he's talking about the aged women. Paul was smart. He didn't call them old women. He called them aged women. Y'all catch that here in a minute. Verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and what? To love their children. He said some of them's going to have to be taught how to love their children. Why? Now I know God put something maternally inside you mamas. It's basically for those mothers that love the Lord. Right?
Yeah. Amen.
But you know what? Every now and again, somewhere along the way, sometimes them young'uns get hard to love, don't they? Not that you don't love them. They just get hard to love. And sometimes along the way, they need some love that you need some instruction in how to show it to them. You know, I believe in correction, and I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. I believe that you need to correct your children, you need to discipline your children, and you need to chasten your children. By the way, all those mean different things. And you'll learn that out of this book. But sometimes your children just need some love. The Bible said, he told the fathers over there in the book of Ephesians, he said what? He said to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let me see if I can get it right, we all understand what I'm talking about. You ever seen parents raise children? And listen, I'm very careful about if I'm going to criticize somebody, amen. I'll get that Barney Fife syndrome. You know, if Opie was my boy, this is what I would do. Well, he's not, so okay. But have you ever just seen some? You know, the Bible said, he said, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath.
That's right.
You ever just seen some that their children could just never do nothing right?
Amen.
And everything they done was wrong.
Amen.
Now, sometimes children are that way. Sometimes everything they do is wrong, it seems. But they're not wrong all the time. And sometimes they just need you to love them. They just need you to love them. They need you to instruct them. They need you to raise them. They need you to train them. But they need you to love on them in the same point. They don't need you to beat them down and tell them that they're stupid. Amen? I heard that the other day. I was on a job somewhere doing just a little old electrical job, and a fella come around the corner of a house, and he was talking to his wife, and she said, what are you mumbling about? And he said, it's your stupid children over there. And oh, that just grated my nerves.
Amen.
You know why? Because I know that oldest one was in earshot of what he had to say. If you ever think that in your mind, and you get your heart right with God, but sure don't say it out loud. Amen? Well, say those things out loud where your children can hear you say that. They don't need to hear that from you. Hey, listen, I know that there's a time to correct your children. There's a time to chasten your children. And there's a time to discipline your children. And by the way, this book will tell you that too.
Amen.
It'll teach you how to love them, when to love them. It'll teach you when to chasten them, how to chasten them, how to correct them. And by the way, your children does need correction, by the way. As sweet as they are and as perfect as you think they are, your children need correction. You know how I know? We need correction. And the Heavenly Father meets out and corrects us when we need it, does He not?
Right.
And He does it for our good. Take your Bible and go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I want you to see. Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm getting ahead of myself here. Look at what He said. Hebrews 12. Let me come back to verse 5. He said, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. He said, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, do you know why you correct your children? Because you love them. You love them. I asked some friends of mine one time. They got three children. I ranged from about 10 to 17. I said, do you correct your children when you're mad? Or do you wait till after you get mad? And I asked them both, the mom and the dad sitting in there. And I said, when do you correct them? And they looked at each other, and at the split second, they said both. They said, we will correct our children when we're mad, and we will correct our children when we're not mad. As one fellow said, if you wait till you're not mad, then you probably won't do it. Mm-hmm. Amen? I mean, now you do whatever you want to and how God instructs you to do it, okay? But now there's got to be some instruction coming, and there's got to be some chastening coming when we've done wrong. Now look here, he said, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now there's one great thing about the chastening hand of God in my life is it lets me know I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm His. He's not going to chasten me if I'm not saved. I'm not His if I'm not saved. You're not His if you're not saved. John 8:44 said, give your father the devil, and lest your father's you'll do. He's a murderer in the beginning, and abode not in the truth. And so he said, look, verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and lives? He said, look, if you reverenced your earthly father and you're in subjection to him, and after they corrected you and you reverenced them, then shouldn't you do your heavenly Father the same way? For they barely for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. He said, your fathers, I chastened you for their pleasure to correct you and make you live like they wanted you to, but said the Heavenly Father does it for our profit. And can I tell you this morning, children, kids, young adults, if mom and dad correct you and chasten you and they love God, it'll be for your profit.
Amen.
It'll be for your profit. It'll be for your profit. But moms and dads, you'll find and that wisdom to help you to train your children in the Word of God. You'll find it in the Bible. If you want wisdom, then look into the Scripture. Let me give you an example of some things about Scripture. Proverbs chapter 29, he said, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So the rod and reproof is two different things. The rod literally is correction, but reproof is blaming them or bringing guilt unto them. In other words, finding them guilty, but trying to get them to see that they're guilty. Your moms and dads, have you ever corrected your children and maybe had to whoop them and they still didn't believe that they deserved a whooping? I never deserved to want it. My mama gave me. I mean, I never was guilty of anything that she said that I was guilty of. Amen. I was guilty of most of it. And some stuff she still don't even know about. I was telling Daddy some stuff that I done when I was 16 and 17 years old. And he said, son, don't tell me that stuff. Amen. I don't want to know. Listen, you know what? It goes a whole lot better. That correction goes a whole lot better when that child would realize that what they done was wrong. But nonetheless, if they done wrong, they still need correction, don't they? And at least they may not do that wrong thing the next time because they know that correction's coming again. But it would be better the next time if they done it because they realized that it was wrong the first time. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all understand? It's like this. It's like this. They put a speed limit sign out there that says it's 55 miles an hour. You know why I do the speed limit when I do the speed limit? Because it says that it's 55 miles an hour. Now, you know why else I do it sometimes? Because I'm afraid Smokey Byers is going to be on down the road and he's going to get me. Now, which one's better? Which one would be better for me to do? Would it be better for me to do 55 because that sign says 55? Or would it be better for me to do 55 because Smokey Byers is going to be down there? It would just be a whole lot easier in my life if I just run 55 and didn't even have to fear Smokey Byers sitting on down the road. You just blow right by him, and even if he's clocking you, you're still doing what you're supposed to do. You follow me? You understand what I'm saying? Listen, if you can ever, and I understand that that's in the heart of a child, and you have to work on that. But the Bible said right here that the rod and reproof give wisdom. You may not think that your children need correction nor the rod, but I'll guarantee you they do. Now, I'm not all for starting out and beating the far out of them from day one when they mess up the very first time. Because you've got to train them. You've got to teach them why it's wrong. You've got to tell them why it's wrong. But eventually it comes. But listen, it said that a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Some of you don't believe that. You say, well, I can just let my child live and do whatever I want to. And, you know, we'll hope for the best. And listen, the Bible said it'll bring his mother to shame. That shame is that guilt of something that should have been done. See, by the time that child grows up, and it's already too late to correct them, it's already too late to fix what's wrong. Listen, then you look back over your life and you say, I should have done something when I had the opportunity.
Amen.
Do you know that the opportunity to correct your children and to train your children eventually runs out?
Right.
Amen. Ain't it good this morning? Amen.
Amen.
I believe it's good.
Yeah, it is.
Let me give you another scripture. Now, I'm talking about you raise your children with the help of the scripture. Proverbs chapter 10, here's another example. He said, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Now, how did that son get wise? How did that son get wise? He was taught, wasn't he? He was trained. How did he know to go out in harvest time and to be a wise son and go to work?
Amen.
Well, he's trained, wasn't he? And so it was a wise son. How do you make your children wise? You make your children wise in giving them the scripture. You need the scripture to raise your children, but then you need to raise your children with the scripture. Take your Bible and go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. God is getting the nation of Israel and that ready and that to go over into the promised land. He's getting them ready. And Moses is giving some instruction. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, he said, now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgment which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son. So there's nothing wrong with grandfathers giving a little instruction out of Scripture. Do you know that? Especially when that grandson is spending some time with that grandfather.
Amen.
Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with that. They ain't nothing wrong. I'll be honest with you. The two grandfathers I had, and I hope they were saved. I really do. But they were not great spiritual men. But I watch some of you grandfathers now, and you can impart some scriptural and spiritual wisdom to your grandchildren.
Sure, amen.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Give them what the Lord gives you. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He's one, ain't he? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. What's he talking about? Well, the Word of God.
Right.
He says, you teach what I've give you to your children. He said, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells deep, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know why you need to give your children the Word of God now? Because there's going to be a day when you ain't going to be able to give them the Word of God. They're going to have grown up on you, and they will have moved out of your home. They will have started their life, and you need to know that you've trained them right. You need to give them the Word of God. Hey, listen, you need to put it into them early. You need to put it into them much. You need to put it into them as all that you can into the Word of God. Can I tell you, that's why it is so important to bring your children to Sunday school. Bring them to Sunday school. I learned a lot about Bible.
Amen.
In Sunday school. I was raised in Sunday school. I told you it's in revival. Mama took me to church 9 months before I was born. Amen. Been in church all my life. Never has there been a time. Now, I ain't saying I always lived right. I ain't saying I always had it right. But I've never been a time where I ain't been in church. Amen. Amen. Listen, God, Brother Fred Wilson says, at least God bless his faithfulness. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Listen, your children need Sunday school. They need to sit under Miss Christie. They need to sit under Miss Jennifer and be taught and that the scripture. You need to bring them and let them sit under my preaching. Amen.
Amen.
They need that drove into their head and into their heart where God can do something for them. They're going to learn that the Word of God will help them, that it will give them direction. That's why, you know, as we teach them in Vacation Bible School, part of the pledge, you know, is that Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119. Listen, they need to understand that. I'm teaching these young adults right now in Sunday school class. I'm teaching, they're studying, they're learning on how to study their Bible. I mean, just not read their Bible, but how to study their Bible. That's what we're talking about. And the very first point in that whole thing was the importance of the Scripture. This book has got to be important. Let me say this, I'm getting way ahead of myself. But moms and dads, if that book is not important to you, it'll not be important to them. Amen. If this book is not important to you, it'll not be important to them. If church is not important to you, it won't be important to your children. I mean, this message is done blow to par, so we'll just keep going. Listen. Do you realize that not only do you train them in Scripture, and I'll come back to this just here in a minute, but do you realize that you train them in sight? Do you realize that? They pick up on what you do and what you don't do. You can say pray, but if you ain't going to go pray, chances are they ain't going to pray. You can say read your Bible, but if you ain't reading your Bible, I doubt what they're going to read theirs. They're going to want to do what you're doing. You're training them by sight. Listen, if you want them to fall in love with God, if you want them to fall in love with the blessed Lord Jesus who loved you and gave Himself for you, and you want your children saved, then you need to teach them about Jesus. Mamas, and I know that I said I was going to preach up. Hey, listen, when you're mixing up that cake batter, you set that little one up there on the bar with you. Don't let her fall off. But you sing to her about how that Jesus loves her. Amen. Amen. Hey, Dad, you got that young'un outside with you. Maybe you're working outside doing something. You make sure that they know how much Jesus loves them and wants to save them. The older they get, the more you teach them. And that the Word of God. That's why I like teaching these young'uns them songs around here. Jesus loves me.
Amen.
I like for them to know that song. Jesus does love you.
Yeah.
And He loves me. Thank God. Thank God for that. I'm glad of that. To learn them songs. As they get older, you teach them more and more out of the Word of God. You take them boys over to Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7, and you teach them about the strange woman, to stay away from her. You take them young ladies over to Proverbs 31 with the virtuous woman, Miss Far Above Rubies. I mean, her heart's right with God, and her heart loves her husband, and he's safely trusting her, and how she's going to raise her children and keep them clothed and all those things. You take them over to 2 Corinthians 6 and you teach them not to be unequally yoked together and that with the world, not only with who they're friends with, but also who they're looking to date or who they're looking to want to marry. Listen right now, listen to me, young people. Don't you go out in the world and find you somebody to try to marry.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
You have no business to take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians 6. Let's just go over there.
Right.
Mom, dads, you need to be driving this into their head.
Amen.
You say, well, they ain't going to listen. Drive it in there anyway.
Amen.
You keep telling them. I think that's a lot of problems we got today.
Amen.
Hey, we got young men and young ladies trying to find a mate out in the world, and it ain't going to work, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can get them saved, preacher. You might get them saved. They also may get you out. They almost make it yet. Look in Proverbs chapter 6. Look in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? An infidel is an unbeliever. If you're a believer and that other person is an unbeliever, why are you yoked up with them? I'm just asking you a question. I'm not saying we ain't supposed to go win sinners. I'm not saying that we ain't supposed to try to get folks saved. But I'm talking about yoking up with them, whether it's in business or whether it's in marriage or whatever it's in. If you're going to have to yoke up, and by the way, that is one of the greatest yokes that there'll be, will be marriage.
That's right.
What business do you have doing that? Listen to me, young people. He said, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You train your children with the Word of God. You train them boys to become good young men, Christian young men. You train them girls to become good Christian young ladies. So that as God speaks to their heart about salvation, that word is already down on the inside. You know why your children will get saved early in life? Just keep giving them the Word of God.
Amen.
Just keep giving them the Word of God. Give them the Word of God. Give them the Word of God. And listen. Listen. God will do something in their heart. Now, I made mention of this a few minutes ago. You train not only by Scripture, but you train by sight. You can bring them to church. You can tell them all to read the Bible. But unless you live it in front of them, they're not going to. They're not. Listen, listen. I want you to listen to me. They're not going to do it. Tell your Bible and go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. Now let me say this while you're going to 1 Kings chapter 22. Did you know that you can do everything that right that you want to do and your children are still going to mess up?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen.
They're still going to mess up. Even good kids mess up. 1 Kings chapter 22. Look in verse 51. 1 Kings 22, verse 51. Hazael the son of Ahab began to reign over Israel and Samaria the 17th year of Jehoshaphat king of Judah, and he reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and what? And walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who had made Israel to sin. For he served Baal and worshipped him, and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel, according to all that his father had done. How did he learn how to worship Baal? How did he learn to do wrong? He followed his father, did. You may not think so, moms and dads, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's a great responsibility sitting on top of you for you to train your children. You say, well, I didn't have that training. That's fine. I'm telling you right now how to train your children.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
As I was coming in this morning, I was thinking not everybody had the same reason that me and my wife did. But you do have the same opportunity to raise your children right. You do have the same opportunity to take this book and put it for. And I ain't saying take it and beat them over the head with it. I'm telling you, you fall in love with it and show them how much you love God. And I just about guarantee if you'll give it to them, they'll fall in love with God too. The problem we run into a lot of times, I'm afraid, in church home and Christian home is that family looks good on Sunday, but boy, by the time they get out on Sunday night, man, I mean, it's all falling apart. Why? Because God ain't got nothing to do in the home. See, we come in here and boy, we look good and we sound good, but boy, if we come to your home, how would it look?
There you go.
You know what I'm asking? You the same way at home as you are here? You carry on at home the same way at there as you do here. You say praise the Lord at home. You read your Bible at home. You pray at home. I'm just saying. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'll just read it. God is telling Samuel what he's going to do to Eli. He said, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Eli was the priest, and Eli had the opportunity to restrain his sons, and he would not. There's that short period of time that you have them in your care and in your home, and you have the opportunity to train them. And you better take every advantage that God has given you. Now, I've got so much more to this thing, but we're not going to go on. He said, train up a child in a way that he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. There was something about that training. Even at 43 years old, I still remember that stuff that I was taught in Sunday school. Even at 43 years old, I still remember some of that stuff that them went, man, and blessed their hearts. Bless their heart, I know us boys was just meaner than the devil. And they done their best to teach us about the Lord. Greatest thing you can ever do, moms and dads, listen to me, is to whisper in your kids' ears and tell them that Jesus loves them and wants to save them. And say, there's going to come a day that you're going to hear a sweet voice.
Amen.
Just go ahead and tell them. There's going to come a day. Now, it ain't going to be my voice, and it ain't going to be your mama's voice. But you're going to hear a voice. And he's going to draw on you. Just go ahead and tell them. From as little as you can tell them, you go ahead and tell them. And tell them not to be afraid of that voice. But just to just move and do what he said. Kind of like Samuel over there. When God comes speak to Samuel, he said, Samuel gets up and runs in there to Eli. Eli says, I didn't call you. Samuel goes and lays back down. God says, Samuel. Samuel runs to Eli. Eli was beginning to perceive that God was speaking to him. He says, when you go back in there and you lay down, and he said, and you hear that voice again, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's what you need to teach your children. When God knocks on our heart, not to be afraid, but just move and get saved.
Amen.
Amen. You need to train your children to do that. I'll train them to do that. I'll teach them to do that. These Sunday school teachers will do that. But you know what? It'll be so sweet if you would teach them to do that. Let's bow our heads this morning across the house. If you ain't living right this morning, you can't train your children right. You cannot do it. Daddies, I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me this morning. Some's already coming to pray. How about you? You'll come and pray for your children. You'll come and pray for direction in your home. I'm going to say it again. Listen to me, dads. The spiritual welfare of your home rests on your shoulders. It does. And you need to be trying your best, and that was Scripture, to raise them right. Brother Lewis, if you would, men, come. Let's get a verse of invitation this morning. Listen to me now. Listen to me. You don't have to be the smartest in Scripture. You don't have to be the wisest. But you just need to read it for yourself. You need to make sure that them young'uns is in church. You need to make sure that they're in a place where they can hear the Word of God and hear the truth of the Word of God. And listen, where God can do a work in their life. Where God can do a work in their life. I'm gonna talk. I think about Hannah sometimes, Samuel's mother, and I know that I'm getting off Father's Day, but all she wanted was a little boy. And I think about her sometimes, and you know, she said, "Lord, if you'll just give me a little boy," she said, "I'll give him to you all the days of his life. You can have him." How many of you moms and dads would be willing to say that about your children? Say, when mama finds out she's going to have young, and you start right then and you say, "Lord, this is yours. You can have this one. You can have my Lord, but this one here is this is yours. You take them and you do with them as you please." You know, Hannah took Samuel up there and gave him to Eli. Reckon how hard that was. Reckon how hard it was for... Now, she knew she was going to see him again, but listen, this ain't going to be like having him in her house. It ain't going to be like that. But I often wondered about Hannah and if she could have been proud without being boastful. I always wondered how proud she was of Samuel. Samuel was the priest that God had made and the prophet. And he followed the Lord. And then I know that Samuel wasn't perfect. I understand that. But I often wondered when she'd hear them stories of maybe some things that Samuel had done, and he was here and there, and he had preached this message, and he had directed the nation of Israel in this direction, and all these things. I often wondered when them words would get back to Hannah, what she thought. All because the Lord was able to use my boy, all because I gave him to the Lord. What about you? You willing to give your children to the Lord, or are they yours? You say, I'm going to keep them. I'm going to keep them. God can have them second. You say, preacher, I'm afraid if I give them to the Lord, he's liable to take them halfway around the world. He's just liable to. And you know what else he's liable to do? He's liable to put them in next door to you too. Who knows what God's liable to do? But daddies, responsibility of that home and raising them children is laying on your shoulders today. What are you going to do with it? Heavenly Father, I pray you help right now during this invitation. You know the needs. You know folks' hearts. Lord, there may be somebody here that needs to get saved. I pray they'd move today. There may be some daddies here that need some help, need some instruction. There may be some youngins here that need to come. Or maybe some teenagers that need to just fix some things. Lord, you know folks' hearts today. Maybe have some here that's got a rebel heart in them right now. And that rebel heart's getting them in trouble. Not only at home, but it's getting them in trouble with you. And they might need to come and make some things right. Lord, I pray that you'll help during this invitation. For these things in Jesus' name, we do ask and pray. Amen.